The time has come, the walrus said, to talk of many things. Hello. Welcome to Exposing the Masters Within, the one and only hour on radio or the internet dedicated solely to helping you expose yourself. My name is John Schulte. I'm here to serve you, to help you to know more of the truth about you. It's often said, looks can be deceiving. And we all know that the surface of things is, by definition, shallow. So thanks for joining me today as we journey through the looking glass to explore what's on the other side, to explore what's beneath the surface. We're here together to discover, uncover, and recover our masters within. You knew your mastery much more fully when you signed up for your on-earth sojourn. But you mostly forgot it soon after leaving the cozy confines of your mother's womb. You've rediscovered some inkling of it, or you wouldn't be listening to me now. So, it's time to remember the masters we are. It's time to reclaim the power we have. It's time for Exposing the Masters Within. Let's get started.
Today is Sunday, May 26, 2013, for those listening live, and it's your time. Whatever that might be, if you're listening to the recording, either way, welcome. Welcome, welcome, welcome. And this weekend in the U.S., for those in the United States, we are celebrating Memorial Day. So we'll be talking a bit about that as we go on. But before we jump into the topic, let's jump into connection. Let's connect with each other, with our own divinity, and all those other beings who are here to support us. So we start with the inward connection, as always, and to do that, just set your intention for divinity and open. Give yourself permission to open and allow your divinity out, your mastery, your power, whatever you would choose to call it. Allow that to expand within your experience in this moment. Allow your breathing to deepen. Allow the energy to expand into your physical body, into your emotional body, into your mental body. Allow it to expand into your entire energy field, filling you with that empowerment, with that divinity. And indeed, allowing it now to expand into all of those energetic connections that we call relationships. Allow your mastery to flow into your relationships, to expand your capacity to be present and to be empowered and to be at choice in all of your relationships. We can all use a little bit more of that. So, all right, allow that to be present and step into knowing that that's going to remain open to at least this degree, for at least the duration of the time that we spend here together today. As we move on to opening the next connection, which is the connection into our Mother Earth. And at this point, allow yourself to open through the chakras in the feet, through the root chakra, through the cells of the body, through whatever pathway works for you. Open into allowing the love and support of Mother Earth to flow into your being and to fill you at the physical level, at the emotional level, at the mental level. Allow it to fill your entire energy field. And again, to flow into all of those connections that are your relationships. The more we feel that love and support, the more grounded we feel, the more we're able to be in our power in each of our relationships. And so allow that to expand. And as you're doing that, connect in with your gratitude for being in body right now, or for whatever else you might have to be grateful for. And allow that gratitude to flow down into our Mother Earth. And as you do that, you might notice that it expands your capacity to receive her love and support. So if you notice that, that's great. If not, that's all right. It's happening. The more we step into the gratitude for what we already have, the more we open to more of whatever it is we are manifesting. And so, allow yourself once more to step into that space of knowing that these connections with our Mother Earth are going to remain open throughout the time that we spend together, at least to this degree. And let's go to the next level of connection. And this time we're opening to connect with our angels and guides, our spiritual masters and teachers, the ascended masters, the spiritual hierarchy, all the beings who are not in a physical body right now, and yet who are here supporting us, who are here supporting you and me and everyone else that's listening, and indeed everyone else on the planet. But, you know, we're only going to connect right now with the ones that are supporting one or more of us. And again, open up in the way that works best for you through the heart chakra, through the third eye, through the crown, or through whatever other pathway makes the most sense and feels right for you. And once more, you're opening to receive the love and support that they are there offering all the time. This is not about stepping into something that isn't there. It's about stepping into a higher awareness of what's already available and allowing it to be a more conscious experience. And just breathe that in and through your physical, your emotional, your mental. Allow it to fill your entire energy field, that love and support, and to flow out into all of your relationships, supporting you to being more empowered in those relationships. And once more, allow yourself to open to whatever gratitude you may have for these beings supporting you. And let that energy of gratitude flow to them. And you may well notice that that opens up so that you're able to receive more of the love and support that they offer. This works across the board in every aspect of our lives. What we're grateful for opens us to receive more. All right. Again, knowing that these connections are going to remain open to at least this degree throughout the time we share here together today, let's move on to the next set of connections to open. And this is the connection to the Exposing the Masters Within community. All the others who are listening out there, all the others who are sharing energetically with me, with you, we are all co-creating this together. And this is about opening up to that shared energy, that shared intention that we have of exposing, discovering, experiencing, and expressing our mastery individually and collectively, supporting each other in that. So what we're opening up to here now is feeling that support of everyone else in this community for each of us to step forward individually. And again, just allow yourself to receive that support of that shared intention at the physical level, at the emotional level, at the mental level. Allow it to fill your entire energy field and again, support moving into all of your relationships as well. You are not alone in those relationships. And it's not just the other person that you're there with, it's all the rest of us as well. And that support and desire for you to be in your power fully, to be in your mastery. And again, allowing yourself to know that these connections will remain open to at least this degree throughout the time that we share here today. Let's move on to the next level. And this time we're connecting with all of the light workers on the planet, every light worker who is in a human body at this time. Whether they ever come in contact with this program and join us in this particular community, each one walking this path toward empowerment shares that same goal on some level, in some way, and in whatever language they might be thinking in. And that energy as well is a huge energy of mass consciousness, mass change, if you will. And so we're going to step into that, opening to that energy. Perhaps get out your spiritual surfboard so you can ride it and be lifted by that shared intention and the power of that shared intention of all the light workers. And again, allow that to fill you at the physical, emotional, and mental levels. Allow it to fill your entire energy field and to flow into and support each of your relationships. Wonderful. And now we're going to expand out yet again, and this time to that energy, that is the energy, the mass consciousness of all of humanity. Now, we're not tapping into all of humanity's energies, but we're focusing specifically on the energy that I like to think of as the drive for improvement, the drive for change, the drive for expansion. It may not be in the terms that we might think of it in stepping into mastery or connecting with divinity, but I believe every single human on this planet, if they have the energy to stay in body, has this at their core. And I believe it also is that connection. It may just be just a trickle to divinity that they are connected with already, but it's there. And so again, this energy that seeks to improve, that seeks to expand, that seeks to have a better life. We're going to ride that wave as well. So allow that energy to come into you. Accept it at the physical, at the emotional, and at the mental levels. Allow it to fill your energy field and flow into all of your relationships, bringing that energy of moving toward a higher level, a better level, to support you. All right, so just take a deep breath or two and really let yourself feel the difference between how you feel right now and how you felt when we started this process of connection. Notice what degree of difference there is for you. Because that's one of the pathways to empowerment, to mastery, is heightening the awareness of what we're experiencing, allowing the experience to be more and more consciously felt. And so just let yourself breathe that in. And thank yourself. Step into gratitude to you for being willing to make the choice to participate, to make the choice to open, to make the choice to expand. Because there are many, many people who are not yet ready to do that. And that, in many ways, is a core of what I'd like to talk about here today. Now, I said a moment ago that we're going to touch in upon Memorial Day, and we are. So let's start there. And what is that? What are we remembering? Because that's what memorial is, that it's remembering. It's celebrating in a way that which has gone before us, and specifically those who have given of themselves so that we might be experiencing right now whatever we value, whatever we enjoy, whatever we love, the good things in life. Specifically in the U.S., it is geared toward remembering those who served in the armed forces, those who gave themselves in that way. But I personally like to expand beyond that and remember the ancestors, my family that I'm descended from. And the choices that they made, for instance, coming to the U.S. whenever they got here, all of them came over after the country was founded, all of my relatives, at least the ones I'm aware of, and came from Germany, but, you know, end of the 19th century. So they've been here for a while. But without that choice, the various couples would not have come together to have the children who were my grandparents, who were my great-grandparents. And if you think about it for just a moment, it's pretty miraculous that you're sitting where you are and I'm sitting where I am. Because out of all the people on the planet, and granted, there's far more people on the planet now than ever before, but out of all the people on the planet, each time two people came together to create another child, whether they were married or not, whatever. That was something that could not have been predicted. And each one of those ancestors that you have, your parents came from your grandparents, came from your great-grandparents, etc. And that flow down through the years came about because of what we might term synchronicity now, what we now term synchronicity, that two people come together, maybe they fall in love, maybe it's an arranged marriage, who knows what the social forces were that brought those two people together to have that child, but every one of us, to me, is a miracle, and that's something that I like to step into and remember, the gratitude, and again, those kinds of changes. Migrations. Humanity has moved around a lot. Tribes moving here and there, and often that's created conflict and brought, the Romans, look at what they did, went all over the place, conquering and fighting and coming together with others to create children in those other communities. People who were born hundreds, thousands of miles away, in an era when most people didn't go further than perhaps the next village. That's pretty amazing. And so I like to step into that and think about all of those choices. And again, I don't personally like to step into the energy of all the sacrifices they made. They made choices. And yes, they may have sacrificed one thing to get something else, but the fact is, well, my belief is, and of course my belief must be fact, just like your belief must be fact for you. As we make our choices, in every choice, we move in one direction and it closes other doors. Doors that we could have chosen are closed because of the choice that we do make. And for me, that energy is always there, no matter what we're doing. There is always, in that sense of things, sacrifice in every choice. Or it wouldn't be a choice. But I choose to look at that as a letting go. As we step into, as we embrace the path that is hopefully a path of greater empowerment, a path that is more what we truly desire. Because for me, that empowerment, that's what it's about. It's the power to choose. It's the power to step into that free will. And I am exceptionally grateful for living in this country where, at least that's the idea. Free will, independent choice, self-reliance. These are things that this country was founded on. May not really support it all that well, but much better than much of the rest of the world. And so that's something that I choose to be grateful for as well. That all of those choices of all of those ancestors not only got me to come into the world, got a body available for my soul to come into, but placed it here in this country because it's much easier to walk this path of empowerment, this path of spirituality here, than it is, again, in much of the rest of the world. And so that's something for me that I choose to be exceptionally grateful for. And, again, the gratitude, not just for those who served in the military, but, for instance, those who listened to what their choices were, what their desires were, to found this country on those principles, to set up the Declaration of Independence as a guidepost. Although I think at this point, it's time for us to transcend the Declaration of Independence into the Declaration of Interdependence as we come forward into recognizing the interconnectedness of all things. Which brings me to where I'd like to focus much of the rest of the time here today, which is on the shift that's taking place across the planet. Because one of the things about Memorial Day, although I believe it's wonderful to step into that gratitude to honor what has come before, but I don't choose to hold on to how it came about. In other words, again, for me personally, I do not like that energy of sacrifice, that idea of sacrifice, in the way that most people think of it as this high ideal. I believe that we're stepping into the space that is to transcend that as an ideal. Love your neighbor as yourself requires you to love yourself first. And that requires you to sacrifice, in this sense, the let go of all of your self-judgments, all of your self-doubts, all of your feelings of unworthiness as you step along this path of mastery. And so, honoring that past, honoring how we got here, it's wonderful. I'm very grateful in my life for the path that I've taken that has gotten me here. But that doesn't mean I want to go back and do pieces of it again. And so, as we walk this path, the more we can honor where we are and where we came from or how we got here, the better. But in order to keep going, we have to continue letting go. One of those tools that people want, well, quite frankly, everyone wants a tool. Give me a tool. Give me a meditation. Give me a technique. Give me something that I can use as my spiritual practice. But I believe every tool must be outgrown. If it is truly doing what it's supposed to do, which is help you step further into your power, eventually you will come to the end of its usefulness and need another tool. And the more we are willing to do that, the better. By all means, honor the tools you've used, but let them go when it's time. What's the phrase? When I became a man, I set aside the things of childhood. Now, that's a paradox because I believe we need to go back to childhood in certain ways to come back to the innocence, the openness to experience the moment more fully through fewer filters. The filters of all the pain, all the experiences we've had that we were not able to deal with fully in the moment. We were not able to truly be with. And so we carry those with us, and they become layer after layer after layer of filters on our perception. Take a breath. I'd like to go now in what may seem at first like a slightly different direction. And that is to bring up a word that I used earlier, I believe, during the program, of value. Value. What do we value? What do you value? And I want to bring this up in the context of the bigger picture through a particular book. Now, I don't do this very often necessarily, but I'm going to suggest, if you're not familiar with this book, that it might be one you'd be interested in checking out. So, up to you entirely. I finished it this morning. It's been out for, well, going on 15 years now. It came out in 2000. And I've had it for probably 10. And finally got around to reading it. And it's a book called The Cultural Creatives: How 50 Million People Are Changing the World. And I'm bringing this up now because it's a book about values. And I'm going to weave a number of things in here. One of the values that so many people have who are walking this path is the value of community, the value of what might be now called authentic connection, although that phrase or those two words weren't even in consciousness, shall we say, 60 years ago. 1950, authenticity was not part of the paradigm on the planet. And connection, in the way we think of it now, meaning that authentic sharing from a deep level of ourselves, again, was not part of the paradigm. And yet, those top three questions that I get all the time in the channelings: where's the money? Where's the partner? What's my purpose? If there's a fourth question, well, there is a fourth question, I'm telling you. It's not quite as frequent as the others, but it's pretty frequent. The fourth question would be, how do I find my community? How can I find those authentic connections? Where is everybody? Where is everybody? And that's part of the reason I'm bringing this book up, because it was very interesting and very surprising to me the numbers that they give. Now, I don't do statistics. Mathematics is not my thing. But according to their study, their studies, they did the studies for at least 10, if not long, more years, 10 or 15 years before they put out the book. And essentially looking at the adults in the United States, because the children are still works in progress, so looking at the adults, what they delineated or described was basically three viewpoints on the world. And this comes back very much to values. The viewpoints are about what is valued. And then the choices get made out of those values, out of those viewpoints, out of what I would call underneath it the belief systems that the viewpoint is built upon. And so I can't go into full depth. I've read the book once. But they basically have three classes or categories of people that they're talking about. The first group are what they call the moderns. And in their way of talking about it, that's been going on for 500 years. From the Reformation or the Renaissance in that time frame, we've been building and moving into this scientific materialistic viewpoint, focus on the world. And in many ways, that's what has gotten us all the progress and all the problems that we have right now. All the great capacity that I can even be doing an internet radio program, and all the pollution that's out there in the world. All the possible connections through, oh dear Lord, this handheld phone that I can take with me anywhere, and the overpopulation and financial disparity between the haves and the have-nots, and the wars that are going on around the planet. And the moderns are the ones who are still the dominant force in our culture. And in their study, they say that's just about half of the population, the adult population of the U.S. And the second group that they define or describe are what they call the traditionals. You might think of them as the cultural conservatives. The viewpoint is they're looking backward to a past that to some degree or another never really existed, when things were much more moral and things were, well, much more the way God intended them to be. And that's somewhere around a quarter of the population. And then you have the cultural creatives, which my guess is that if you're listening to this program, if you're helping me to co-create this program, you're probably one of us. And the cultural creatives, part of the viewpoint, the values of the cultural creatives, part of that has to do with desiring this connectedness. Part of it has to do with authenticity. Part of it has to do with seeking a new way. The cultural creatives do not want to go back into the traditional, more hierarchical way of giving authority to some outside source, whether it's a particular church or even a government. And the cultural creatives are more interested in what might be called social justice, whether it's overcoming racism, overcoming sexism, overcoming the class issues in terms of economic disparity, etc. Very, very, very invested in not only connecting with the environment, but moving into the ecology movement and the peace movement and things like that, etc. And not every cultural creative is in all of these areas, but these are the concerns. And the overriding, or one of the overriding concerns, is also this pathway toward spiritual empowerment, spiritual connection, both internally and potentially with others. And here's one of the primary reasons I even brought this up. One of the things that is going on here in this movement of the cultural creatives awakening is that for the most part, it's being done one person at a time. In other words, each one of us is kind of creating the map for ourselves. There is not a map that we just go to and oh, all right, I need to do this and this and this, and then I get to enlightenment. I need to do this and this and this, and then I come to peace. I need to do this and this and this, and then all my relationships are fixed. I need to do this and this and this, and then I have that perfect partnership. I do this and this and this, and then abundance is all taken care of. Each one of us is coming from a different place. And from my perspective, for the most part, it's out of our own woundings. It's out of our own places where we felt most limited, most constricted, most pained, that triggers us into this awakening process. Oh, another huge thing on this is not just the spirituality, but the alternative healing, holistic health, organic foods, those sorts of things. But the paradox to me that they pointed out in here is that because each one of us is trying to figure it out for ourselves, notwithstanding that we do come together in groups, or notwithstanding that we're co-creating this time together right now, but each one of us is trying to figure it out for ourselves. And thank God, I don't want you taking my word for it. I want you to feel what's true for you. Anything I offer that's true for you, it's wonderful. But anything I offer that's not true for you, to me, is equally wonderful. Because what it does is it allows you to clarify what is true for you. To know yourself that much more fully. To know what you are about. That's awesome. But what this brings up, in spite of the numbers they talked about, well, this is almost 15 years ago, 50 million, a quarter of the adult population in the U.S., cultural creatives, doesn't feel like that, because, and it's happening more, the communities are happening more, the connections are happening more, but they're not established. In some ways of thinking about this, we're making it up as we go along. We have the clarity that what's going on right now is not working, individually and collectively. And as we work on our individual shift into empowerment, we eventually will get to the place where we need to expand that out, where we need to connect with others, where we need to see about doing it at that larger level. Working with others to create change as well. And this is happening more. But I think that's the biggest reason why so many people on this path feel so alone on this path. Not necessarily lonely, but like they don't have that connectedness to the degree they'd like it. Now, another part of that from the spiritual perspective, from the channeling I've done, etc., is that part of what's taking place on the planet is we're all spread out because it's important to have more light being grounded everywhere. You know, it might be great if we all picked a city and we all moved to Indianapolis and just took over. All light workers, everybody else get out. That might be a great party, but it's not going to help transform the culture as a whole. And the culture as a whole is about the viewpoints. And right now, the largest viewpoint is that one of the modernists that they're called in here, which is, we'll just keep going. Keep going full speed ahead. This is the direction. This is the way we're going. And it is that. It's all about technology. It's all about the new thing. It's all about expansion. It's all about perpetual growth, and not the kind of growth that we like. Not that inner growth. It's about the growth of the economy. And in many ways of looking at it, it's coming to a crisis point. Some would say it's already past the crisis point. As we look at the global warming, as we, again, have wars that come out of this battle between the traditionalists who want to go back to something that probably never was, and the moderns who don't want to do that at all, and now those of us who are seeking a new path, neither one of those seems to work, but another part of this cultural creative pathway is that we don't seek to jettison everything. We want to pick and choose what we'll take with us. Find the things that work and use them until they no longer work, which is what I was talking about earlier, about letting go of the spiritual tools, no matter how much they've served you. When they're not helping you anymore, let them go. Graduate to the next grade on the spiritual path. And so there's a number of things that are being woven here, perhaps I'm not weaving them as clearly as you might like, but let's keep going. This pathway of viewpoints, I'd like to share another tool. And if anyone is interested in this tool, send me an email, give me a phone call, and I will send you the link, because I didn't create the tool. I've just benefited from it. And what it is, it's a tool. The framework it's given in, it's by a man named Greg Habstritt, and I don't know if he developed it or not, but it's on his website. And his primary work is helping people empower their businesses to become more successful. So I'm not sure where he would be, a modern or a cultural conservative. I don't know. But this tool is a wonderful tool. And he talks about it in terms of success markers. Other people might talk about it in terms of core beliefs. But for me, I would go to values. Back to values here. What do I value? And it starts out with this incredible list of things. And love, justice, courage, freedom. There's probably 60 or 80 different things on the list. And you can also add some things yourself. And essentially what you do is you start with that large list, and I think you hone it down, and you pick the 20 that are the most important to you. And there's definitions next to them, although you can write your own definition. This is about what works for you. Some of the definitions I changed. What he had down didn't work for me. It wasn't what I thought that term was, or what I believed it to be, or what I was valuing. I like the term, but not his definition, so I wrote a different definition. And once you get that broken down to those 20, I think it's 20. It's been a while since I did this personally. Then it puts you into a place. You enter those, and if you've made up some of your own, you put those in. And then what it does is it gives you kind of a head-to-head. If one of the things you value most is love and another one is justice, it will bring them up on the computer screen at the same time, and you literally choose which one of these you value more. And I guess specifically this is about your relationships with other people. What do you value more? And what it does then is it sorts through those 20 and compares each one to each other one, and then puts them in a hierarchy for you. And it gets you these five things. Specifically, it gets you the five, I believe. I actually wrote down 10, I think. That you find most valuable. Now, a big part of what this is on that website is it's about knowing what you value, because the more you know what you value, the more you will move toward it rather than avoid it. And it can also help a great deal in communication with other people. Now, how's that work? Well, I'll give you an example. My top five: wisdom, precision, courage, creativity, freedom. Now, quite frankly, that surprised the heck out of me. Not that I didn't know these were up there somewhere high, but like spirituality didn't make it until number 9. Empowerment didn't make it until number 7. So it was eye-opening for me, because I had gone through the process. I had felt within me which one of these was most important, which one I valued more, and I got some greater clarity about myself. Now, I definitely would have put wisdom in the top, and probably people who know me really well would have put precision there, but wow, I think that I value that highly is one of the biggest reasons I have strife in my life. Now, I'm not judging myself for having that as a value, but without having a conscious awareness of how strong that value is for me, it's easy for me to step into judgment of someone else who doesn't value that, whether it's in trying to communicate with them, because for me, I choose my words very carefully. I do my best to say exactly what I mean every time I open my mouth. A lot of people aren't. It can relate to sloppiness of doing things in ways that I wouldn't necessarily do them if I were the one doing it. And that has led me to be a bit of a control freak. Okay, a lot of a control freak when it comes to how I do my work in terms of running it as a business. And so seeing those things, I'm able to begin letting go of that. I'm able to step into the next one, courage on the list, to honoring all the choices I've made that have been the path less taken, because I've taken a lot of those. And it's gotten me where I am. So again, this is about connecting with that, remembering, oh my God, I did that. I wrote a 500-page thesis. I have a CD out. I haven't marketed it, but I've got it completed, et cetera, and honoring the steps it took to get me to do all of those things, which, going back for those who were listening over the last couple of months, is another part of what I'm doing right now, is this whole completion process. So finding these values, if again, anyone wants to do this, it can be eye-opening. And if you have important people in your life, you can get them to do it, and it can be eye-opening as well, seeing the differences and kind of starting to feel the differences in how we interact based upon what we value. And if I know that you value something that is not high on my list of values, and you know I value this thing that's not high on yours, then we can come to accommodate somewhere in the middle. Where if we don't look at that, if we don't have an awareness of that, it can just keep being this ongoing clash where I'm looking at you going, what the hell is wrong with you? And you're looking at me going, what the hell is wrong with you? And so anyway, that's another tool I wanted to bring in here, because it is about this energy of values and what we value. Yes, it's built on what we've experienced in the past. It's also built upon our essence. And so that's another piece of this. We can start to explore, well, how much of these things we value are because of our experiences, and how much of them are truly who we are, so we can make our choices to move forward as consciously as possible. Now, let me see if I can wrap this all up. It's never quite the nice little ball I'd like it to be at the end of these programs. But what I want to say is this. I honor who you are, how you got here, and everything that you value. And I encourage you to honor yourself and to recognize that no matter how much at times it may feel like you do not have community, there is community here. We connect with it. When we connect at the beginning, that level of connecting with everyone in this program, everyone connected to it, when we connect with all the light workers, these aren't just things you can do here. These are things you can do anytime. And it does make a difference. It does help to open up that energetic flow to really feel the others around you, even if you're not in direct contact with them. And as we do that, it also opens up so that we can manifest, so that we can allow ourselves to connect directly with more of those who are already on this path in some way, in some way. Even if it's not completely the spiritual focus or the self-empowerment focus, maybe it's we can meet them at the peace path. Maybe we can meet them on the path of equality for gender, equality for race, equality across religions, etc. But as we open up to connect more, as we become more conscious of each other and more conscious of the community that we're creating, this energy will continue to grow. I'm sure it's far more than 50 million now, not just because there's more people in the country, but because this is a growing population, and it really started with those protests in the 60s and on into the 70s. Started a little earlier than that in some of the triggers, but if you want to know more about that, read the book. But it's a growing movement. It is expanding. But think about this. The numbers that they give, 50 million at that time, a quarter of the population, every fourth person you see, or out of every four people you see, one of them is likely to be part of the community that you're in on some level, seeking a world that is different than what we've had it to be and opening to connect more fully, more directly. And so for one thing that this does, again, my third thing on the list is courage. It makes me more courageous to step up and talk about this, not just in a forum like this with people that are self-choosing to join me based on knowing how weird I am, but with anyone. Open the door and just share. And the more we're aware of just how many of us there are, the easier it will become. And I have had many people who've been surprised, not because of any of this, but when they go out and they share with someone and the person goes, "Oh yeah, that's been bothering me. I've been worried about that. Oh my God, I know what you're talking about." And I certainly have had that experience as well. So I think it's time for us to stand up, not to be counted, although the counting helps. Knowing there's so many, that's a wonderful thing. Knowing as well that they don't have the right to burn us in this lifetime, that's a good thing as well. And so, well, I think I'm gonna let go here. Let go of the thread. Love yourself, value yourself, step into that. Know yourself more. To thine own self be true. And then you have the power to come together. We have the power to come together to create a new world. And that is what we're doing. We may not see it clearly all the time, but the more we connect with it energetically, the sooner we will bring it in, and the more gracefully we will bring it in for all of us. So, as always, we'll close out here with a little bit of channeling from whatever guest decides to show up. Allow yourself to breathe a little bit while I do some toning to adjust the frequencies and bring in whoever will be joining us. So, hello, dear ones. For those who know my name, it would be the name of Hildegard von Bingen, and I am here to be with you today to offer you an activation within the third eye, an activation into another level of visioning, that which you would bring into the world, that which you would create, of opening not so much the psychic but the spiritual vision, not so much that which is about reading things that are taking place, but about knowing that which is to be your choice. And so for those of you who would choose to receive this, make yourself comfortable, put your feet on the floor, or at least consciously choose to ground yourself and breathe deeply. And as you breathe deeply, open up the root chakra and the chakras in the feet. And allow yourself to bring the energy up from the Mother Earth, almost as if it were water rising up through a well, rising up to the surface, rising up, lifting through you. And so this is a buoyancy. It is a lifting. It is flowing up through your being, even as it is filling your being. It is filling your being with that sense of being supported. It is filling your being. It is like water. It is supporting the emotion. It is supporting the energy of feeling safe. It is supporting you to be present where you are now. And so allow yourself to feel that flowing up, flowing up, flowing up, and filling you all the way until it reaches the crown and then just kind of flows down, flows through the crown and flows down around you. Like you are one of those fountains that some of you have so you can have the little water noise in your offices. So you become the fountain of this divine energy coming up to you from the earth. And you allow yourself to step into and experience that divine flow and that divine safety. And so from that place now, We bring in an energy. You can think of it as a seed, but it is more than a seed. It is a spark. It is a spark. And we're going to drop that down through the crown, actually. And when it reaches that point where the crown comes together with the top of the central channel, where it comes together with where the points of the front and back of the third eye, as it reaches that point and it's floating down in the water gently, 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 and it touches that intersection, and then it ignites. It sparks, and it sparks in multidimensional color. You may or may not see it at all in terms of the color, but it sparks across the colors. And then what it does, and if you can imagine the old movies where they lit the fuse and it ran along the ground, that as it went to blow the dynamite up, that is what it is doing to the front and the back of the third eye. It is igniting them into a higher spiritual awakening. And it is doing that around the edges and throughout the chakras. And it will keep doing that after we take our leave. And we know we need to take our leave. So we would just suggest that you just sit with this and breathe with this and open to this and continue remembering that that grounding energy is coming up, that water of life, that safety is flowing through you and then down around you again as you receive this opening, as you ignite your third eye. And so know that we love you and we love your energy and we love your divinity and your creativity. Namaste, dear ones. All right. Thank you, Hildegard, and thank you, everyone out there. And Doug, you can start those chimes up. Just so you know, I cannot do this program without you. I thank you for joining me every week. I will be back same time, same place next week. I wish you a marvelous time in between. I hope that you will step into greater awareness of yourself, your values, and your choices. You never know where you're going to go until you get there. Much love, my friends. Namaste.